Good morning. I hope you've had a great morning this morning. I hope before you even came to church that you were able to worship God on your way here. I hope that if you had one of those mornings where you're like, man, what could go wrong, went wrong, I hope you find God in that. I hope that, first off, you made it here, so that's a good sign. Second off, if you didn't make it here and you're online, that's still a good sign because you're online with us. Third off, if you're not online and you're not with us this morning, guess what? We have a church body that recognizes that. And my hope is that we as a church body reach out to you, let you know you're loved on, that you're prayed for, and that you're missed to be part of this. Because this is a special time. Yeah, it's like 2 hours, 3 hours out of our week. But you know what the focus of today is? Not us, not our desires, not what we want. It's God. That's it. And that's enough. It slows everything down. It makes us realize our ambitions get put into place. Our worries get put into place. And guess what? God is bigger than all those things. And we come together and we find joy in His presence because what did He do for us? He sent His Son for us. Right? And that's so amazing. I'm so excited to be here with you this morning just because of what God has put on my heart. I will tell you as I start this sermon, I have been nervous about this sermon for some reason, and I know God is bigger than my nerves. I just feel like I have not been able to get it wrapped around in my brain. I feel like it's too big of a message for me to even employ, and I'm not trying to give you excuses. I just know God's got something in store today. And maybe it'll hit you in a week and you're going, okay, what he said didn't really make sense, but God is working through it. Because God is bigger than me that's on this stage. And I am just a mouthpiece that God is allowing to be up here in this moment. I have the honor and the privilege to be your pastor. I really do. I consider that an honor and privilege. But I also consider it such a blessing to be in his presence with you this morning. And the message that he has this morning is not just for you, it's for me, and it's for us to understand that God is our judge. And it sounds so scary in such a way, but he is our judge. And I hope that you find hope in that. I hope you find, after this morning, an understanding of what it means for him to be our judge, right? As we've gone through this this series, which is judgy, right? Don't judge the title. I know it's not spelled right. I just feel like it goes along with who we are sometimes. And we talked about the first 2 weeks of what it means to be judgy, right? And the first week we talked about the plank versus the sawdust, if you remember, right? And we gave you a piece of wood to take with you. And this idea and this thought process of how easy it is for us to look at our neighbor and see what's completely wrong with them, the little minute things, and go, ha, they need to work on themselves, right? And if you remember what I did, I had this big platform piece up here, and I hid behind it, and I was kind of rude and critical of what you dressed like that morning, and I couldn't really see you. I will say, standing behind it, I still, like, regret some of the things that I said. I thought they were really mean. And still, a lot of you said, oh, you could have been meaner, right? And so I come out from behind it, and my shirt's all messed up. It's wrinkled and everything, and it's misbuttoned. And what I loved watching was, like, everybody's reaction to it. There were some who was like, they were fine with it. There was others like, dude, did you get dressed in the dark? What happened? Like, seriously concerned for me, right? And I think they weren't really catching on to what was being done there. I was very easy at seeing what was wrong with you, and it was so obvious the things in which my life, it's wrong with us, and we can look beyond the plank in our own eye sometimes. And God and Jesus helped explain, hey, first, before we ever judge anybody, make sure our life is right. Make sure we are in the healthiest place. Make sure there is nothing for us to be judged by. man, you got to go a long way for that. And I also explain, I think this is very important. I think there is a point of rebuke versus judging, right? And in order for me to rebuke you, I think I have to be able to know that and understand, am I willing to die for you? And if I'm willing to die for your sins, if I'm willing to die for the cause of the person that I'm judging, then I will have every right to be able to rebuke you, because if I'm willing to die for you, I'm willing to love you the way Christ loves you. And the only way that I can do that is knowing that Christ has loved me and is changing my life and moving in me. And he's designed me in a way now that I can look at you and go, okay, listen, this isn't healthy. You're not doing what God wants. But before I can do that, I have to acknowledge I am in the same boat as you. I deal with the same things that you deal with. They might be different issues, they might be different problems, but I have my hang-ups, and I make sure in that rebuking time, I have been forgiven, and I have been looking at myself just as much as I've looked at you, even more. The next week, I handed out weapons. I handed out stones. Anybody bring theirs back this week? I'm just checking. Just checking, all right? Those purses get heavy sometimes, right? All right? Just checking that. And we talked about the stones being laid down. And we talked about this lady being dragged out by all the righteous people before Jesus. And it wasn't the lady they cared about. It was the sin in which they wanted to try to capture Jesus about. They wanted his opinion. They wanted him to make a stand. They wanted him to be a convictor in that moment. And he just kneeled in the sand and started writing. And they were frustrated. They were angry. And they wanted him to give them an answer. And he stood up in that moment and looked at them in the faces and looked at them and said, hey, any of you that have not sinned, go ahead and throw the stone. And then he gets back on the ground and he starts writing again. And I've said it last week, I've said it before, I really think he was writing out sins. And they were all looking at that and going, oh, that's mine. I don't want anybody to know that's mine. That's lawful for me to be stoned too. I'm going to walk away. And then the only one left in that moment is the lady that they dragged before Jesus. By law, they could have convicted her, and by convicting her, they could have stoned her to death. And Jesus looks at her and says, stand up. No one's here to judge you, and neither will I, but don't go and sin anymore. You got to understand in that moment, that was such a sweet moment, that was such an amazing moment, because he saved her life and she knew it. And he built up, he could say to her, go sin no more. Now, the person in our lives that can say that to us is Jesus Christ. He is saying that to you. He wants you to stand up. He wants you to sin no more because he wants the best out of you. He wants you to live a life that is free from sin, a life that is surrounded by his presence. And he's calling you to do that. And he tells the church in that moment, listen, we are all find ourselves in this moment. And it's so easy to look in this world and see the sin in this world and really bring it before God and go, convict them all. And he looks at them and says, you are right there with them. I show you grace. I show you mercy. I tell you to sin no more. Listen, church, the same message is being said today to us. To go and sin no more. And to have the same grace and peace in this world. Today we're going to talk about God being the judge. And I want us to kind of think about the courtroom, right? And how the courtroom is set up and how we look at the courtroom. If you've ever been in a court, I've had the honor and the privilege to serve in a jury. And it's interesting. I kind of enjoyed it. Not from the standpoint that I had the ability to convict somebody. I just got to see the process of it, right? And in that, you see the judge, and they're in the center of the room, right? And Can you, just like I'm above you right now, right? The judge sits in a platform where he's above everybody. He's looking down on you. It's kind of intimidating. And if you've ever seen, if you've been in a courtroom, it's very, very his way or the highway, right? You honor the judge. You make sure you don't wear a hat. You make sure you don't talk out of your turn. And if you do, good luck to you, right? As a jury member, I remember like the strong message, hey, this is a civic duty. It's an honor to be here today. And if you try to get out of it with some kind of nuisance or excuse, I won't appreciate it. And when he said, I don't appreciate it, you could just feel the immensity of what that meant. It meant more than just, it's not just a feeling. Something might happen if I say, well, you know, I have to go babysit my kids. Like, it's not going to work. The little excuses don't work. And I don't want them brought before this court, right? So it's there's this honor, this presence in the courtroom. What do you do when the judge comes into the court? Everybody stands, right? And then you stand until what? Until he says, you can seat. You can be seated, right? It's how it is. There's an honor to it. Now, this morning, I want us to think about this in the realm of spiritual with God and being in the judging seat, right? And I want us to look at how the world wants it and how some of us even want it. Can you imagine looking up at that seat and seeing no judge? And what that would mean for a lot of people. It would mean probably liberation. That there's no rules and regulations, that I truly have freedom to do whatever I want and say whatever I want, and then it would be great. Right? We would have that. But I want to tell you there's a different view of this. That when we don't have a God that sits up on that judging seat, that we don't really have an idea of what it means to have hope and understanding and passion and a reason to live. And let me kind of convey this to you. Growing up, you play the measuring game. All right, let's look at this. As you're growing up, I played the game. Like when I first started going to school, I wanted to make sure I got good grades. I wanted to compete with other people. I did the measuring game. Anybody else? All right? No, just me. Okay, bunch of liars. All right. And when I was a teenager, you measure up to like, man, I want to be a varsity player at something. Or I want to make sure I'm doing good. I want to make sure I'm measuring up to my peers, right? And as I became a man, guess what I started measuring? I wanted to measure up and be a good man. I wanted to measure up and be a good dad. I want to measure up and be a good husband. I want to measure up to be these good things. And guess what happens when we take a judge away from that? There's nothing to measure by. There's no rule or reign between what is good and wrong. And guess what that life is? It's hopeless. It's dark. It's meaningless. So in the moment, sometimes it feels freeing, but as you live in that freedom, you start to realize that nothing has a point to it. Have you ever had a point in your life you felt like it was just pointless and empty and it was just void of purpose? You know what that stems from? Not having God sitting at the throne of your life. This morning, we're going to look at some scripture before we keep going. It's out of John 12, 41 through 50. And if you have your Bibles, follow along. I'll go ahead and read it. Isaiah said this because he saw Jesus' glory and spoke about him. Yet at the same time, many even among the leaders believed in him. Because of the Pharisees, they would not openly acknowledge their faith. For fear they would be put out of the synagogue. For they loved human praise more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out. First off, I want to acknowledge what Jesus is doing here. It's not, in the Greek understanding, this is very flippant. It's not necessarily that he's yelling this out. He's actually very, very emotional in this moment. He's actually probably crying this as he's saying it. Because of how much he cares and how much he's invested in this moment here. And I want you to also understand in the context. This is his last, in John, this is his last public speaking. Last kind of sermon with his people. Publicly. Right? So this is intense. This is an intense moment. This would be like if I'm sitting here bawling my eyes out for you to understand the message that I want to convey to you, because I know and I believe that you don't get this. And this is the difference between life and death. This is where Jesus is at. Whoever believes in me does not believe in me only, but in the one who sent me. The one who looks at me is the one seeing the one who has sent me. The one I have come into the world as the light. First off, in this moment, he's talking about judging. What I love that he is connecting this nonstop with the light. This is a metaphor Jesus has used throughout his time in ministry. And he's still, in this moment where he's done to talk about judgment, he brings light into it. I just want to bring hope in that mindset there. So that no one who believes in me should stay in the darkness. If anyone hears the words but does not keep them, I do not judge that person, for I do not come to judge the world, but to save the world. There is a judge for the one who rejects me and does not accept my words. The very words I have spoken will condemn them at the last day, for I did not speak on my own, but the Father who sent me commanded me to say all, and that I have spoken, and I know that his command leads to eternal life. So whatever I say is just what the Father has told me to say. Okay, a lot there. Kind of feels like it's redundant in some places, right? Jesus, he says in a moment that he doesn't come to convict. He's not the judge. His word is the judge. You know, he's using metaphors here. He's using examples. Really, what he's saying, God sent me, I am your judge, but it is his words through me that will judge you. All right? So in this moment, a life without a judge, it means we have a life without God's word in it. And I want you to know that is hopeless, that is desperate, and that is scary. And what really this is what we call despair. Despair is one of those things within our life that we find no hope, we find no understanding, we find no reason to get up in the morning. Have you ever felt despair? It's not a good feeling. It is empty. And when we see that platform, that desk, that high rise of not having a judge sitting there in our life, I want you to know that is despair. And it sounds so counterintuitive to what we think, because right, we've been saying judgy as in ways of our terms is not healthy. When we look out in this world and we want to judge, it is not usually out of a healthy stance. It's not usually out of one that we're like, okay, this is what God has called me. I get to go and judge you all. Guess what? God has not called any of us to go out into this world to be the judge for him. There is only one. Right? Now, it might be the platform in which we try to take up. It might be the seat that we try to sit in. But man, I will tell you, the moments we sit in it are the moments we get our butts kicked. Because it is not our seat. It is not for us to own in that moment, right? But it's for God. And we live in a world that tries really hard to kick God out of this seat. The cool thing is God still sent his son for us, all right? To bring the word. And what's the word do? It brings truth. It brings absolution. It brings what Jesus said about life. It brings new life through that word, all right? It is that word. The other aspect that I would love for us to talk about this morning, too, is this idea of God smites. Anybody ever ask God to smite somebody? No? All right, in the back, all right, I see that. Anybody do it out of jokingly? God, smite that driver. No? I think we've all kind of been there, right? We ask for God's judgment right away. But it's not something that we look at and go, okay, that's a good thing. I want us to understand God's judging, God's smite, God's conviction is such a great thing for us to understand this morning. And I'm going to put this in a way that can be very, very intimate and tough for us to understand. If anything has ever bad happened to you or your family, if somebody has done something that is just horrifically wrong, and the only real response for you in that moment is to do something back. Like the anger and the hurt and the pain that sits there. And you want an avenue for it, right? You want a place and you feel justified. And by the world's in some stance, it might be justified. If somebody were to hurt my family, you know what I would want to do? I would want to hurt them. But I want you to understand where God comes in this. He's the great judge. He's the one that does this. Vengeance is whose? God's. And it's not because God doesn't want us to have it. He knows we can't handle it. When we act out of hate, when we act out of anger, when we act those things out, it changes us spiritually. It changes us physically. The anger and the frustration that we carry with it manipulates a soul that never meant to be manipulated that way. And God comes in and goes, let me have it. I am the great smiter of this. It is my role to convict. It is my role to bring down the fist of pain. And when we hand it over to Jesus, when we hand it over to God, and we understand that it is His, I want you to know how freeing that is. That you are not bound by that hate, you're not bound by that anger, that you're not bound by that. Does it still hurt sometimes? Absolutely. But when you know a God is the God of just, you know it's in His hands. You know, you can easily turn this around. Do you trust God? Does God love you so much that you can trust Him with everything? Are you willing to say that this morning? Are you willing to understand that this morning? Because that's what He's asking from you this morning. And when you're willing to trust God with everything, and I mean everything, you're willing to trust Him with the vengeance as well, with the hurt, with the frustration, with the justified anger. And it's no longer yours to handle, it is God's to handle. Right? See, God understands that, He knows that, and yes, He comes in and He convicts that. He's the just God. People will pay for their price. Guess what? They have through Jesus Christ. And if they believe Jesus, they're in the same boat as you. But if they don't know Jesus, guess what happens? And God doesn't want that on your heart. He's taking it. It is His justice that will rule. And when we become a church people that understands that, man, we look different from this world. When we believe that vengeance is His, we are different from this world. When we trust that God has our back and it is His to deal with, man, we find joy in the most miserable moments of our life because we know God is bigger in it. Because we trust that God is justice, that God will convict, that God will deal with it, God will own it. And when we believe that, it's amazing. When we understand this, this is the other part of God's Word. If you've heard God's Word, if you've read God's Word, if you know God's Word, guess what? That word will be held against you. Let me repeat that. Whatever word that you've ever heard from God, and when I say that, I mean this stuff. I mean if anybody's ever preached it. I mean if you were raised in a home that nonstop was about it, when you had the daily bread and you read it, guess what? You are sustaining your life too. The Word of God, and you will be judged by the Word of God. And so if you go against the Word of God, guess what happens to you? You will be judged by that. And now I want you to understand too, guess who is the Word of God? Guess who, in John it says this, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word is God. Do you know what that W in the Word is? It's capitalized. Do you know who it stands for? Jesus Christ. Jesus was in the beginning. He's known you since day one, before you were even day one. And every time you've heard the word and felt the word and imagined the word and it's just breathing in you and you go against it, guess who you go against? Jesus. So that word is more intimate than anything else in this world. That word came to die for you, bled for you, be resurrected for you. So we understand what it means to die for sin, be resurrected in new life. But when we're resurrected in new life, guess what we are demanded to do? Guess what the expectations of our life are? To live by His Word. There's no play in this game. He put stake in it so you will put stake in it. He gave His life for you so you give your life for Him. And when you live this way, you live out God's word, right? All right, this is the other aspect of it. This is the part that, man, it changes how we look at the court system here. Because I don't think we necessarily have a judge that sits in that seat. I think we have a judge that is sitting next to the defendant. Can you imagine in a court today if a judge got down off that platform and sat between the plaintiff and the defendant and just listened to them and invested and knew the secrets that were going on and all the worries and concerns from both sides, guessing that this judge, this man or woman just sitting between them going, okay, how am I fair? How am I impartial? How am I going to love? Because you can't be fair and impartial when you're invested. You start to care for both sides. You're also amongst them. You're not above them. It just wouldn't work in today's courtroom, would it? It'd be weird. Right? Jesus is not sitting up on that throne. He's not sitting there above everybody. He's amongst the people, loving them, crying out for them, knowing that, hey, there is a better way to live. There is a better way to be, and I need you to know this, and I need you to want this, because we seek the praise of humans. We seek the praise of man, and you need to seek the praise of God. I tell you, there are many times in my life that I look at in the praise or the non-praise, the criticism of man have dictated my life, dictated how I feel that day, have dictated how I look at life. And I want you to know, that is hell on earth. When I invest my soul in what you think of me, that is hell on earth. If I invest my soul in what my Savior thinks of me, that is a glimpse into the kingdom of God. I know I have been saved by His grace. I know I have a new life this morning. I know I have a judge that came down off the throne and embraced me, cried for me, hurt for me, loved me, even though I'm not innocent. None of us are this morning. And the moment that we think we're this great smelly person, and I'm not trying to be Debbie Downer today. I'm not trying to put you in, like, kick your butt and go, have a good day. You're horrible human beings. That's not what I'm trying to say this morning. What I'm saying is, listen, we are not here by our own devices. We are not here because of our own strength. We are not here this morning because we believe we're the most holiest people this morning. We believe that God is holy, We believe that God has loved us unconditionally. We believe that Jesus Christ was sent here by him to show us how to live, how to act, how to be, how to love, how to forgive, how to drop the stone and look at the planks in our own eyes and realize we are just like everybody else. We have our faults. We have our issues. And the only thing that makes us holy is what Jesus is doing in our lives today. That's it. Without him, I'm nothing. Without him being on that seat, I am nothing. Without him getting off that seat to show me that he loves me, I am nothing. We are nothing. We come here today to understand that God is our judge today. And it's not one where we shake in our boots. It is one that we praise God that he sits on that throne because nobody else should be anywhere near it. That he is just, more than any justice that we've ever seen. He is love more than any love that we have seen. He is grace more than any grace that we've seen. He is judgment more than any judgment we have ever seen. He is righteousness. He is everything good. You see, without him, we would not have a purpose to live. We would not understand how to live. We would not know what is right and wrong. And guess what? We can easily look out into this world and we can see that they have removed the judge from the throne, right? It's very chaotic, it's very scary, and there's no boundaries, there's no understanding of what is wrong and right anymore. And we're questioning it. And I want to say, church, listen, we need to start living out the word that he has put on our lives. We need to let go of the stones. We need to take the planks out of our eyes and allow God to work in it and go, hey, this is what you need to fix. This is what you need to deal with. This is what you need to work on. Because I have an avenue in which I need to use you. I have an avenue in which you will glorify the kingdom today. Are you willing to do that? And if you are, what that means is you're willing to satisfyingly say, you're willing to say yes to this, you're willing to agree with this, that God is my judge. Can I let go of all the hate and the anger that's righteous that I feel like people deserve today? And let God have it. Can you do that? Because that's a tough one. It ain't easy. In fact, guess what? I honestly believe one day we can say, yes, it's all yours, God, and wake up the next day just buried in and carrying it again. And God, what's awesome about God is he continues to come to us and continues to say, this is my battle, let me have it. It's ruining you. It's not healthy for you. You're wrapped around all this hate and this anger, and that's not why I've created you to be. Let me deal with the smiting. Let me deal with the judging. Let me deal with what the pain of this issue is. I just want you to know, God is so awesome about this. This is such, no other God does this. No other God has ever gotten off the throne and said, I'm going to love my people right where they're at. I will embrace them. No other God has cried before their people so they know the message is real and intimate. That God loves you so much, he's willing to ache for you. There's two kinds of judgment. And this is my last statement this morning. Two kinds of judgment. There's our past judgment, which has been paid for. You understand that? There's our past judgment. Jesus came. He died on the cross. Our sins were forgiven. And if we believe that, they're wiped clean. Right? I don't care what the world says. I don't care anything else. All that matters is if I believe it, that Jesus died for my sins, guess what is no longer there in his eyes? Nobody else can do that. If somebody has done me wrong, man, it is so hard for me not to view them in those eyes. It's so hard for me not to see them in those eyes. But man, our maker, our creator, the one that sent his son, he does that. Doesn't hold a thing against me if I believe in him. Second one is the end. We will all be judged. He sits on that throne. He's watching how we live. He's watching this world. And I want you to know, I don't want us to sit here and go, yes, he's going to judge them. Oh, he's going to get them. I don't think that's what God is doing up there in that throne. I don't think he's excited when people are doing things that are unhealthy. They're not what God wants. I think he's hurting and crying out, and he's waiting for us to participate in that hurting and crying out for a world that is lost. He's waiting for us, church, to live out the word that we will be judged by. I know it seems, I feel the heaviness. I feel today has just been a heavy one. I just want you to know, we find hope knowing that God is our judge today. We find understanding that we are measured up by God only today. Praise him. I want you to know that. That I look at that and man, that's so reassuring to me today that I know no matter what, the only one that judges me is my maker and my creator. Because he loves me through and through. He knows how he made me. He knows how he designed me. And he will judge me. Right? That should bring you hope. And then he calls us out to live that word amongst his people. Today, if you're carrying any anger or angst, I implore you to think about it, to pray to God, man. Let God deal with that judgment today. Let him have it. It is his. He never intended for us to carry that anger and that hurt. Give it to him. Put God back at the throne where he belongs in your life. And join him out in the area of people that need to know they are loved even though righteously they are being convicted by God alone, that he comes and embraces them. We are called to live out God's word. Do that, okay, church? Stand with me. This morning, before I release you, we have an awesome thing going on. We have a VBS luncheon. Vacation Bible School, all right? I want you to know, Vacation Bible School is awesome. We had some awesome kids up here singing this morning, right? That's part of our children's ministry. We have an awesome children's ministry going on. And every summer, we do a Vacation Bible School unless a pandemic hits, right? Praying that no other pandemic ever hits again, right? Because we want to have Vacation Bible Schools. Guess what it takes for Vacation Bible School to happen? Volunteers. We need tons of volunteers. We need to show these kids that they are loved, that they are cared for. We got families that might be coming in that have never been a part of our church before. Do you know what they need? They need your embrace. They need to see your smiling face. They need to know that God is actually working in your life, and they need to see it written all over you. They need to see the word written all over you, and then you embrace them and have fun, and you enjoy their laughter in this building. Guess what? God is celebrating in heaven. I truly believe it. Join us this morning if you have any thoughts of being part of VBS. It's a free lunch. We're not paying you. We're not making you pay to be part of that lunch, right? As far as I know, right? It's down in the gym. If you have any interest, please come. We'd love for you to be a part of that. All right, before I dismiss you, church, allow God his rightful place in your life to be the judge that you deserve. All right, go in peace.